Isaac, the host, and I am just so excited to bring back a show we had about a year ago for a couple of years, and it's the debut of the new Empowering Women show starring none other than Tara Zontanos, a.k.a. Tara Alves. So, Tara, how are you?
I'm great, Dave. How are you?
Quite an introduction, right?
Very spectacular.
I should say the glamorous, the amazing, the incredible realtor of the century. You do win a lot of awards, so.
Well, I have in the past, yes. I work really hard, so I take my work seriously, and I try and make everyone as happy as I can.
But this is what I noticed about you since I've known you only for, a couple months now?
Yes.
Maybe 2-3 months, but we've met very often to develop this show, and I really honor and respect you about this. It's about empowering women. We're going to go a little bit more into what that means, what people can expect, the listeners can expect. But you're like the perfect woman to do this show. You have a heart.
Aww.
You're compassionate. You're determined. You have kindness, and you're just really successful. You're talented. These are skill sets that empowering women have, and there's no one better to do the show than you, to set the path example of enlightenment, awareness, and greater opportunities for women.
Well, that makes me feel really good because that's what I aspire to do in life. And, you try to do everything from the heart and you hope that people feel that and you hope that you're doing the right thing in life and you make mistakes. But, the thing is to keep going and to keep true to yourself, and I think that's the best compliment I could get, feel that way.
Well, thank you. But I think your friends and the people that know you feel that way, too, because, again, we've had many meetings, and it's really important. There's a lot of people on the radio or on TV or whatever, or maybe just the public speaking circuit,
mm-hmm.
the motivational-type speakers, that perhaps some of them may not be in it for the right reason.
Right.
And I think we've all met people like that. But you just seem to, there's a way to do this. You've gone through the recession in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
It could not have been pleasant.
No.
But you had the positive attitude, the way of thinking, the how to think.
Mm-hmm.
Think it through to get
mm-hmm.
to where you are. And that's what this show is about. And we should, first of all, let me ask you a little bit more about your background. I was really impressed. I'll lead it off. ASU,
mm-hmm.
grad, was it journalism or broadcasting? It was Walter Cronkite, though.
Communications,
yeah.
I interned at Channel 10 in college.
What's the article there? That's Fox.
It was fun. It was actually right when Fox was taking over. Remember, it was KS?
I think it was a different station.
It was a different station, and then Fox came and took over, and I was there during that time, and that was really fun. You kind of learn. That's where I think I really got a grasp of writing copy, and I would write the ad copy for the, or you would write the copy that would promote the new show, and so that was really fun. And then I worked in the communications field, everything from being a media buyer to marketing and a little bit of on air and radio. I worked as a PR person. I had done commercials with different celebrities, wrote the scripts, all of that.
I see in a picture with under a tree. Who was that?
Oh, Jay Moore.
Yeah. He's so funny, that guy.
It's funny because that was an interesting story. We were working for we actually built a program for animal welfare, a nationwide program. It was with Microsoft and PetSmart. It was a really cool concept. didn't go over as well over the years as we planned, but in the beginning it really took off, and we had a lot of celebrities do public service announcements for us, and my job was to get the celebrities. So we had no budget. We basically, I called, sat in my little office and called Jay Moore's manager, and we ended up having him meet us in a park with his dog and did the commercial. And that was really cool because we literally didn't have, you know, we were a nonprofit. We didn't have, we couldn't pay anyone to do anything. So I gave my friend that was a producer over at Cox that did video on the side. He flew out there with us, and it was just fun. But, you know, it's things like that that make you feel like, hey, I can do anything. I was sitting in the office with Melanie Griffith recording commercials and, you know, listening to her make her mistakes and, you know, things like that you would never.
But I have one question on that.
What?
What happened to Don Johnson? They were married, weren't they? I think they were. Anyway, that's off topic. But you're right. That was very cool. And it just shows, so I mean, that's a nice part of your background.
Right.
And then you became a realtor, right?
Right.
Or was there something in between there?
Well, basically about 10, 11 years in that industry. And then, I was married at the time. So I had a little more leeway to, you know, say, hey, I want to do something different. And I really wanted to go into real estate. I actually had gone to real estate school not too far out of college, but I had a good job, and I just didn't pursue it. I went through all the classes and never took the test. So then here 10 years later, I said, I'm going to do this. And we were in a position where I could leave my job for a while, and I did it. And, it's been the best thing for me. It's a perfect fit for my personality and for, you always talk of women. A lot of us say, I want to help people. I want to make a difference. And even though real estate, you know, it seems like it's a sales job, to me, it's a relationship job. To me, yes, there's details, and you better know what you're doing, and you better be on top of everything that in the transaction. However, getting business and growing your business is all about who you are as a person and people trusting you and knowing that they can count on you for when your word means something.
And it's very critical because that's one of the biggest investments most people will ever make.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes people see real estate, and at least this is the impression I've gotten, that they see it as like a salesy car salesman.
Yeah.
It's far from that. You know, it's really, if you're really in it for the right reasons, you know, you're putting a lot of time and energy into somebody else's dream. So, you know, for somebody like me, I feel like it's my dream too when I'm working with somebody.
So you spend the time with them.
You spend the time
with
them.
Not like maybe the stereotypical car salesperson where, you know, they don't want you to leave the lot without buying at least one car.
Right.
You can't do that in real estate
or
else you won't survive. You won't be very good. But
but
you also take that extra step to make sure they're comfortable.
Right.
And I bet you're the type of person, because this is how I am too, is that if it's not right, then you'll tell them, like, hey, you don't want a commission. You want the right fit.
Absolutely. One of my highlights to me of my career was back in 2007, I was working in new home sales for Trend Homes, and it was my best year ever in real estate, and I think my partner and I closed 92 homes that year. And
wow, that's a
it
lot.
Was a lot of homes, especially in new construction. It was insane. I think that was the number. But either way, my whole goal was winning customer service awards. And every quarter you won, you know, if you got recognized for that, it came, you know, cumulative scores at the end of the year, I ended up winning for the whole company a 9.9 customer service for the whole company for the year.
Wow.
That to me, and then I ended up top in sales. So that's a perfect example of how you take care of the person. You don't worry. I never knew how much I made. I really didn't know how much I was making. I was married, so it wasn't like I wasn't counting dollars. I just, you know, would get a check, put it in the bank, and focus on the people. And then at the end of the year, you know, you look at what you did, and by taking care of people, doing the right thing, the end result was money and was, you know, were the sales. And so I think that's something I always try and tell people. You know, I don't know everything. I'm 42 years old, but I'm learning still. And if I'm talking to girls younger than myself, and I always say, you know, it's about doing the right thing and not worrying about, you know, the end result, the money. If you're in an industry like this, and I've talked to a lot of people trying to get into the industry, and you just have to follow, you know, you follow your heart, but also do what's right.
What you're talking about is values. I mean, what do you really value? If you value money as number one,
mm-hmm.
that never works out.
Mm-mm.
And it doesn't matter the industry. So value, you value people, you value doing, like you said, doing the right thing.
Right.
Being fair, being, you know, patient, being kind, really putting someone's dreams first, in this case, it all works out. There's no doubt. And that's what the show's about. And I thought we'd talk a little bit before our first guest is scheduled to call in about 9 minutes or so,
mm-hmm.
is to talk about empowering women, what the show really means. What does it mean to be an empowered woman? Because we're going to be doing the show every month
mm-hmm.
from 4 to 6 on the, what is it? We're the 3rd or the 4th? We're the 4th. Yeah, the 4th Tuesday of the month. 4 to 6 p.m. Arizona time. And so we're going to have empowered women on as guests to show what's possible. We're going to try to make a difference, change the world, because it is, you know, in Congress, just this week they were talking about the unequal pay. I mean, women make 70 cents to every dollar a man makes. And I mean, really, if you think about that, that's absolutely outrageous. It's the same position. And I won't say, but there's a certain party out there no, I just sneezed a little bit, but that are trying to stop that. It doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
And it's about fairness. How do you see the show? What does it mean to you to be an empowered woman? What are some of the qualities that women really need to pay attention to? And many of them certainly have and are not recognized by men in the general society.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of the starting off points about what does it mean to be empowered?
Well, I think being empowered, it's, you know, my explanation will take 30 minutes, but confidence, you know, having the confidence and the belief in yourself to keep being positive when life hits you, because it does hit you when you least expect it, to be a compassionate woman, to stand up for yourself, to, you know right from wrong and actually stand by that rather than just go with the flow and go with what other people think or their opinions, to be, you know, to take care of your mind, body, and spirit, and to have a balance in all of those areas. To, you know, we're faced with challenges as women that I don't think men can always relate to or see, and I'm not saying all of them, just, you know, in general, you know, women have more, you know, certain responsibilities with children and, you know, with work and their expectations of, you know, being a wife, being a mom, you know, to their family, to everybody. It's a whole different world that we're faced with than the men. And so I think it's just knowing how to be confident through all of that and remain authentic to who you are, and being kind, being a good person gets you through things that come into your life. And I think you need to be empowered to know that, you know, you can really do anything that you put your mind to. You really can. I mean, with certain restraints, of course, but, you know, I think that we tend to put limitations on ourselves, or we let fear creep in, and really there's nothing you can't do if you really truly believe in yourself, and it's learning how to do that, to believe in yourself.
And part of the issue, I think, is society, how it's placed restrictions over
mm-hmm.
time, getting better on women and other certain groups. I mean, at one time, women were not allowed to vote,
which is
unbelievable
it's
in
unbelievable.
Itself. And there's a lot of other injustice with other groups, but we're talking about women at this point. And it's despite the cultural barriers,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have other shows to talk about
right.
how to recognize those barriers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know, what are some of the skill sets? You know, you talked about being positive despite the odds, you know, despite what life throws at you. And in future shows, we'll talk about, you know, there's ways to become positive. Because
right.
a lot of women, men as well, you know, they just feel what they feel.
Right.
And if they don't feel good and they get depressed, the question is, how do you get out of that state of mind?
Right. Absolutely. And I know you and I have talked about that quite a bit. And, you know, I have a personal situation. I was married 15 years out of nowhere. And, I mean, out of nowhere, ended up getting divorced. I had the home, the, you know, we have that life. Everything, savings set for life, you know, everything was set. As the market's crashing, I'm getting divorced. So not only was I faced with the dilemma of, oh, my gosh, my income just went from this to this, now I have to crawl myself out of bed every day and go to work and earn a living. I want to stay in my home. I love my home, so
yeah.
I need to work harder. My husband's gone. There's emotional stuff going on. You know, it's endless, the things that can hit you. And you have to, you know, just decide in your mind, hey, no, I'm stronger than whatever it is that's coming at me, and I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to fight through this, and you can. But I think you're right. A lot of people don't. They just, oh, I just don't. That just is what it is.
Or they don't know how, and they accept. I mean, it's good. Acceptance is good, but accepting doesn't mean giving up. It just means, okay, this is what it is. Now let's move forward.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain grief, you know, time frames and stuff, but
right.
but one's interpretation of the event is key to the mindset. And we're going to have to talk more about that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I hope there's film at 11 on the divorce of Tara. Is on tunnels.
I've heard all about it.
Oh, yeah, I have. And no, I mean, it's sad. It's sort of a story that
mm-hmm.
you hear
mm-hmm.
quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, it's very common.
It's very common, unfortunately. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, we'll talk more about this, like, on other shows and maybe
yeah.
in this show, but how you never imagine how you're going to react, and you don't plan for things like that in your life.
That's right.
You don't plan
a divorce.
You don't plan for a divorce, or you don't plan for certain situations to happen that you can't imagine how you'd feel until they happen in your life.
Yeah.
I think that's another way where, you know, women can struggle. You know, we have to deal with you guys.
I know. Why are we looking at Greg?
Greg, you're off the hook.
You're off the hook because you're off the charts. But I agree. I think it is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think women have actually a disadvantage, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's not right. That's why this show is going to be on. And it's this show is very, very important because to give hope
yeah.
to women, to give a resource. We're going to be a resource center for
mm-hmm.
people, for women and men too. I mean, and, you know, men can listen and learn, hey, you know, treating women with respect is key, is very, very important.
Absolutely. I think it's so simple. You know, maybe I'm a more simplistic female, but I really don't think I need much. Respect, you know,
being
kindness,
honest. Yeah.
honest, just a simple,
yeah.
you know, I'll cook my own food, I'll go to work. I don't need you to, you know, you want an equal partner, of course,
yeah.
but, you know, the simple things that can change a relationship or, you know, your life if you just, but for some reason, it doesn't seem that simple. Or at least
yeah.
in my situation, it doesn't seem to work out that way. But
it's difficult. Well, there's
mm-hmm.
there's no doubt. Why don't we take a quick break right now? And when we come back, we're scheduled to have a great guest, Carrie Severson, president and CEO of the Severson Sisters, talking about empowerment. Her website and mission in life is all about empowerment to women. She talks, of course, about bullying, and that's a tragic thing. It seems to be a lot these days. But we'll be right back. This is Empowering Women, and we'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
She's just a girl and she's on fire.
God, and in my backyard, that's a dear God, and that's a horse ranch. with my core fans, keep repping me, do it to the death of me, X in the box, cause ain't nobody checking me.
White out, drop that.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Empowering Woman, the debut show of Empowering Woman. I should say the new Empowering Woman show, starring none other than Tara Zontanos. I love your name, by the way.
Thank you.
Both names are really cool.
Thank you.
Some people really have sort of names that maybe they should change. I won't say who, but not Greg, though.
Of course not. You named him.
I know, but I wanted a different name.
What did you?
I wanted Richard.
Oh, what?
I was overruled.
Greg fits him.
Yeah, Greg is good. But Tara, that's a beautiful name in Zontanos.
Well,
sounds distinctive.
Actually, it's Greek, and my grandfather was from Greece, and it actually means, from what I've found out, to live.
Oh, is that right, to live?
To live.
Wow.
And my first name, obviously, that was from Gone with the Wind, my mom.
Can you believe I never saw Gone with the Wind?
Do you know?
I'm one of the few people that have never seen
it. I've only seen parts of it. I have never watched the whole.
And that's
we should watch it together.
I know, that's such a classic, right? Mm-hmm. Wow, I don't know. I don't know how that's possible that I missed it, you missed it, but I did watch The Godfather the other night.
Oh, I've seen that.
That's good, right?
Italian, I've seen that.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good. Anyway, again, this is Empowering Women starring Tara Zontanos. I am Dave Isaac, the host, and we'll be on every third Tuesday of the month from 4 to 6 on great topics with great guests. And, of course, speaking of a great guest, Terry Severson, president and CEO of Severson Sisters, on the air. Terry, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am great. Of course, you know Tara. Tara, say
hi
to Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hi. Good. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
How's the weather out there?
Oh, it's awful. It's 23 degrees today.
23.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Are you wishing you were in Phoenix about right now?
Yeah, you know what? I grew up in Milwaukee, and I'm at right now. And I've been gone about 15 years, so I don't remember what this feels like. And it's awful. So,
you know, it's funny, Carrie. I on business about, it must have been 5-6 years ago, one of my clients had me fly down to Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I think it was Milwaukee. Is that the one by Chicago, about an hour and a half?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, Milwaukee. And that's right. That's where the Brewers played. So I wasn't too far from the stadium. And they had some real estate projects. I'm also a CPA. So I was doing some analysis of these projects. And one day I thought, okay, I have a day off because I was there a little over a week. And I was driving, and I kept driving. And I thought it was hard. It was a tough city to get through. Not like Phoenix where, you know, it's like in a grid where you got, you know, streets and avenues and you could sort of figure out where you're going. But what really threw me, it said no parking from, like, December to March or something. I go, what? I've never seen that before. But obviously it corresponds with the snow.
Because of the snow banks. Yeah, you get snowed in.
Yeah, and I go, wow, so where am I going to park? You know, I'll come back in April, I thought. So I didn't.
Yeah.
So. Anyway. But thank you so much for, you know, being on our debut show. And it's very important what you do, and it ties into what the show's about. I mean, I'm looking at your website right now. A great website, by the way, and I really admire you for doing this to help people. But it says, Bullying Solutions That Inspire Girls to Connect to the Supergirl Within You. Mm-hmm. And it's a nonprofit organization that empowers females in the world. Can you elaborate a little bit more on your website, on your nonprofit organization, and what inspired you to do this?
Sure. It's Severson Sisters. My last name is Severson, and we are we're an empowerment organization that helps girls live authentically as their awesome super self. And we believe that by helping them understand what makes them unique and special, they'll learn compassion, they'll learn empathy, they'll increase their self-esteem, and they'll be able to interact and communicate more effectively at a stronger level with their peers. And we believe in those two actions alone. By teaching girls life skills and how to support one another and respect themselves, bullying itself will decrease. Mm-hmm. And so our organization created a program called Supergirl, and we go out into the community and we implement it at schools, through community centers. And this year we actually are now selling our program to trained adults, and we kind of flipped our business model, really. We're still going directly to the schools and working directly with the girls, but we're also training individuals who want to make an impact in their communities. And so we're selling Supergirl to trained adults. We're giving them the tools. We're helping them get their own programs off the ground so that they can go out into their communities and create Supergirls themselves. And that's actually why I'm in Wisconsin. We're in Arizona. We're in California. Wisconsin is our next state. And by the end of the year, we hope to be in New York, Texas, and Minnesota. So we're still chugging along.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So basically, that's where you're training them to be basically facilitators.
Correct.
Of your program in different mm-hmm. cities across the country.
Correct.
You know, your story, your personal story, we're really interested to hear more about that.
Sure.
And that was one of the things that personally resonated with me. I grew up, my dad was a football coach, and I had a weight problem at a young age. And I know that feeling. I know how it feels to be, you know, I guess I never thought of it as bullied, but made fun of or, you
mm-hmm.
know, belittled. And it definitely created more compassion in me as a human being just from a young age, just knowing how it felt to be treated that way. And I want to know your story, because I think from what I read about you, that's kind of how this all started.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a mid-sized town in Wisconsin, and I moved around a lot when I was a kid, and so I was continuously trying to make friends. And even in the town, once we landed in it, I was one of those kids that never really felt like they fit in, so I would move from group to group. And it affected my self-esteem, and I established a weight problem in middle school. Bullying in middle school was horrendous. I mean, it, like, mm-hmm. created such, like, anxiety and fear. It got to a point where I really should have involved the school, but I didn't. I moved out of fear instead of anything else. And my fight or flight kind of mechanism, my survival technique, I guess, kicked into gear. And I bribed a girl in seventh grade with costume jewelry to make sure that I didn't get beat up. And that really affected me in high school, and my self-esteem was totally shot in high school. So when I should have been establishing confidence and establishing a voice, I dreaded school. I dreaded being tormented, and the weight problem just continued because that's how I was
mm-hmm.
medicating, I guess,
coping.
Myself and really
mm-hmm.
coping. So it really did affect me into my 20s. And when I got out of the town I grew up in, I went as far as I could. I went to Arizona State. I got a degree in journalism because I wanted to become part of the media and really change the way society treated girls and treated women. And I thought the best way to do that would be to establish some sort of, you know, become part of the foundation that put a spotlight on stories that we focus on. And I wrote for magazines and newspapers for a long time, got involved in marketing learn brand planning, strategic planning, and took all the tools I've had as a business professional and launched Severs and Sisters in 2011. So, but when it got down to it, like in 2008, I was 30, and I really questioned what I was doing with my life. There was this like big void that I felt like I was always running from, and I couldn't mask it with a new job or a new, you know, trend or materialistic thing. So one day I came home from work, got a journal out, and wrote down questions that I knew I didn't know the answers to, like what am I passionate about and what can I see myself doing for the rest of my life, and why aren't I doing that now? And I spent the next like good 6 to 8 months just really thinking about what it was that I was meant to do with my life. And little by little, what I do today started coming up. I know I'm passionate about empowerment. I know I'm passionate about sisterhoods and self-esteem. And so I spent a long time really researching what was available for girls and women, and this is what came to me. So I'm grateful I experienced what I went through as a kid, because I know it gave me an opportunity to learn how to find my light, and that's honestly what I feel like I'm supposed to do, is help others do the same.
You know, Carrie, some of the great authors out there, motivational speakers, people that inspire people, had similar experiences. They've had really, you know, horrible events happen in their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And Louise Hay is one that comes to mind, and I think Wayne Dyer, and then some of the others, you know, had some events of their life that they had a decision to make. The decision is to pretty much crawl into a shell or look at that event as a gift that you were picked specially to change the world. Is that how you look at what happened to you in middle school?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it started in middle school as, and then just, you know, progressed. The bullying piece definitely was the starting point for me, but so I believe that like what we do today helps girls have tangible tools on how to address it. But even more than that, I believe the empowerment component of what we do, helping girls understand why they're unique and why they're special and shine within it rather than try to hide it, that is something that I think is a lifelong lesson. And if we're able to teach that to girls early on, they'll grow into confident, loving, compassionate, empathetic women. And I just think overall the world would be a better place if we had more people like that walking around. So I'm grateful. You know, I learned how to find light within the darkness, you know?
Let me ask you this. I don't want to take you back too much to middle school, but, you know, with all the listeners out there and people probably really wanting to understand this, because there's probably listeners out there that this is happening to them right now.
Or their kids.
And when you, you know, it sort of touched me when you, you know, said you bribed the girls to not get beat up. I mean, it touched me in a way that, you know, I felt really, you know, sad, you know,
right.
Passionate for you. And did you think of telling your parents, going to the school, or is the fear so much, so part of you that it was hard to do that? And depending on your answer, it doesn't, you know, whatever way you go, but what would you recommend to someone right now if they're going through the same experience?
Yeah, I didn't tell anybody. Girls specifically who are bullied take on an embarrassment or a shame feeling, and it becomes a cycle of, what can I do to avoid this? How can I get out of this? Why is this happening to me? And that's that's what I experienced for sure. And I went into it was, even from a young age, it was a immediate instant gratification. How can I fix this? I didn't know what else to do. And for some reason that thought came to mind. But no, today our action plans for girls who are being bullied is to help them, first of all, find their inner voice and use that with confidence. And so we help them come up with three things that they can say confidently to make it stop. The next step is to involve not just a teacher or counselor, but involve principal or someone in the office that you can sit with for a while, because a lot of times in the school day, teachers and counselors, you know, have ongoing tasks. But if you can sit in the office for a little bit and talk it out, it might help. Third step is to involve your parents, which, you know, I didn't do. And fourth step is to journal, write it out so that you can get the emotions out. A lot of times kids that we work with who are being bullied shock their parents that they've experienced it, and even more so to the extent that they're experiencing it. And a lot of those feelings are deep harbored feelings that you carry throughout your childhood into adulthood. And if you don't address them right then and there, it'll affect the day after and the day after. So our plan is to take action, build confidence, but then release it as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. Why don't we take a quick break right now? When we come back, you can hold on, right, Carrie?
Yep.
Okay, great. And let's take a quick break. This is Empowering Women, of course, starring Terry. Where did I get Terry? Tara. Tara, of course, on Tunnels. And our special guest right now, all the way from Wisconsin, is Carrie Severson, president and CEO of Severson Sisters, and we'll be right back.
Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinsohn & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinsohn & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to the debut show, Empowering Women, starring Tara Zantanos. And we're live from the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. I might want to mention it's about 80 degrees here.
Okay. Thank you for that.
It's a little hot, but it's nice. Wisconsin is still nice. Go Milwaukee Brewers. That's what I know about Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Now, we have, of course, a special guest, very important guest, Carrie Severson, president and CEO of Severson Sisters, nonprofit organization helping women to become empowered and about, you know, how to really stop this bullying that's going on, and it seems like it's getting more news coverage as the days go on, and it's a very tragic situation for people that get bullied. And Tara, you have a few more questions, don't you?
Carrie, one of the things I was curious, why do you feel it's more prevalent with females? Because it seems to be that way, and why do you think that is?
Well, the research shows that girls bully differently than boys do, and they use psychological manipulative tools when they do it. And so when boys do it, it's verbal and it's physical, and it usually resolves itself quicker than it does with girls. And so it's still prevalent with boys. It's just we notice it more in girls because it turns into this ongoing escalated episode, and it's never just a one-time thing. And it rotates. So when you get into groups of girls, it'll rotate around the group pretty consistently.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember being in high school and being, you know, we all got our turn to
mm-hmm.
be the girl that everyone, I could see that and the effects of the psychological side of it and how that doesn't just affect our self-esteem and our confidence, but it also trickles down into other aspects of society and life, and that's something that we really want to ask you about. How do you see the average person hears bullying and we just think, oh, somebody got their feelings hurt, and it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
we don't take it to the next level. How does that actually affect our society in dollars and cents? I mean, it affects the workforce and schooling and dropouts, and how have you guys seen with your research it is affecting our society on a deeper level?
Mm-hmm. Well, the bullying does affect self-esteem, and when kids drop out of high school, one child costs society, I think it was $1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
But the CDC has some great statistics or some great, you know, analytical research, as does the American Medical Association. I want to say that CDC believes that it's an ongoing pervasive issue that requires community involvement at this point to mm-hmm. continuously help children grow up, because kids that are bullied early on in life grow up to be in, go into juvenile delinquent systems, they end up breaking laws, they have a hard time holding down jobs because they're unable to form real, tangible, ongoing relationships. And kids who are bullied early on in life grow up to be in domestic violent relationships and have long-term self-esteem issues. So the long-term effects of bullying really didn't start being looked at or analyzed until after Columbine happened. And now more and more research and studies, even up to the National Education Association, are starting to look at state by state how kids are doing early on in school all the way into adulthood. That's actually one of the reasons why we decided to expand our program into Wisconsin, because the statistics here are really, really sad, to be honest. They're 58% of girls here in the state of Wisconsin, 53% of high school girls in the state of Wisconsin believe bullying is an issue, and 25% of them have harmed themselves by either burning themselves purposely or cutting themselves. And unfortunately, the suicide rate here in the state of Wisconsin is higher than the national average. So, and that's just for females.
Wow.
So going back to your point, there are long-term effects, and it can be prevented if there's deeper programs put in place to support girls early in their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
How? Let me ask you this, the parents' role in all this, is there, I think you said you're getting into some programs that parents can get involved in. I think you said with adults, maybe getting involved in doing and helping you perform these programs and get these programs out to more people. But other than that, I mean, what's the parent's role? If you were a parent, what would you tell them right now? What would you try to look for in your child to see if anything's going on that they should know about, because maybe the child is not telling them
right. What's
happening in school?
Well, key signs that your child is being bullied are the first one is having to do with, like, loss of interest. If your child all of a sudden doesn't want to go to gymnastics or soccer practice, and it's almost as if overnight they've lost interest in a hobby or a club that they had strong interest in the day before, that's usually a pretty good sign that they're being bullied. Obviously, if they don't come home with items that they left the house with, chances are they're being bullied. Sleep deprivation, appetite changes both ways are good signs that something's going on as well. Some things, easy, really quick tips that we always give parents at the end of the day, ask your child who they sat with at lunch and start to take notice of, like, if there's changes there, or start to make notes of names that you hear, friends that you hear. If there's a lot of changes going on, chances are there's something happening. And looking back at it, that one little who I sat with at lunch was like the worst for me growing up. Like, I remember having, like, dreading who I was going to sit with, because that was a huge thing. The cafeteria is like a space for girls to be bullied. And if your child is sitting by someone, you know, the same person on an ongoing basis, that's a good sign. Then again, you get into this, well, what if she's just telling you what you want to hear kind of thing? So we actually wrote, our program is implemented through workbooks. And so the first workbook, we dive into questions like, if you could change one thing at your school, what would it be? How would you change it? What would you do if you were president? We start to ask questions like that are really easy opportunities for conversation to start, but they're all related back to school.
You know, Carrie, let me ask you this, because it's sort of a follow-up question related to what parents can do, what signs to look for. To me, the school and teachers' responsibility should be big, too. I mean, it would seem to me that schools, teachers, employees of the school, shouldn't they be on the lookout for this since it's becoming so widespread? And if they're not, why not? And if they are, what are they doing about it?
Schools, I think it's a state-by-state basis. I know in Arizona, school budgets were slashed a couple of years ago. Very few counselors were able to stay in the schools. I want to say I've spoken to one counselor, I want to say it's within the school district of Madison, and she's the sole counselor for the entire district. So because of state budgets, schools have really had to hone in on resources. I want to say there's an ongoing conversation on the number of kids in a classroom and the amount of pressure that is put on teachers because of state budget slashes. It is the responsibility of the schools to know what's going on. A lot of states have bullying policies put in place. The state of Wisconsin has great ones. The state of Arizona has okay ones. It's up to the schools to regulate the policies and follow through with reporting the issues and keeping up with their zero tolerance policy. And I think if there were a stronger correlation between parents and schools on that, we would see it decrease. But a lot of times it does go unreported, and that happens because, again, the child is oftentimes afraid of speaking up, and the bystander is afraid of jumping in because they think the bullying isn't going to come back on that particular person. So it's an all-around issue that has to be addressed, both from activists like us who are working to get tools to the girls, getting parents involved so they are able to take the tools into the home, and then creating ongoing conversation between the parents and the teachers.
Yeah, this is very important. Let's take another break right now. And, of course, our special guest, very important in today's society, Carrie Severson, president and CEO of Severson Sisters, a great nonprofit organization helping women and girls to become more empowered, trying to solve this bullying issue that is just ongoing, which is just crazy out there. It's just so traumatic and detrimental to young women, and I suspect with guys too. And of course, this is the debut show of Empowering Women, and of course, starring none other than Tara Zontanos. We'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs. And if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
To Breakthrough Thinking. This is the debut show of Empowering Women, starring Tara Zantanos. We're going to be on every fourth Tuesday from 4 to 6, talking to various guests around the nation, international as well, about women and empowerment. And today we have a very special guest for our debut show, Carrie Severson, President and CEO of Severson Sisters. Carrie, again, I want to thank you so much. We still have a couple segments to go, and I think it's really important. This is I really admire you for this. Is a cause that will help so many people. You'll never know how many people, how many kids you've helped in your career as your career goes. And you're the type of woman that makes a difference. I should say a human being that makes a difference. There's men and women making a difference all along, but we really want to give you credit for that.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And Tara, do you have a couple questions about technology?
I think we wanted to talk a little bit, too, about how cyberbullying is.
Yeah.
That's another big thing nowadays with Facebook and with, texting. And I just recently saw a story where there was a suicide murder type situation because of text messages, and it was a bullying situation. So we kind of want to hear your take on that and what you're seeing with that and how you guys are working to solve that problem as well, because that's, I don't know if that's something that's part of the program, with the Supergirl program, and we just kind of want to hear a little more about the cyberbullying.
Yeah, we didn't think to put cyberbullying in until it started getting brought to us from schools, actually. So our first experience with it was with a Catholic school in Phoenix that we were working at. We would go into the schools, and we worked with the girls. And our Supergirl program is an ongoing program. We work with girls typically anywhere from an hour to 2 hours on a weekly basis. And I think cyberbullying in general, it's not getting a lot of, from a research perspective, they still don't believe it's a prevalent issue, but most of the girls we dealt with, and we've worked with over 1,000 now, they've typically had at least one encounter via phone, text message, or one social media site. So, we have to start from the basics and actually talk about online safety. And that goes from both the parents' perspective and the girls' perspective. There are guidelines on social media sites. Facebook, for example, you're not supposed to have an account until you're 13. And if you're under 13, it's the parents who are allowing their kids to do it, or the kids are lying about their age. And so online safety, first and foremost is make sure that your computer is in a safe spot in the middle of your home and that you know what's happening. What's really interesting is kids are able to get online now even through televisions. So new tech TVs, parents have to be really aware of privacy settings and even kind of limiting the hours their kids are on any kind of outlet like that. We've had cases where girls are bullied on different social media sites through pictures that they're posting, through from parents. Parents are talking in a negative pattern, I guess, to other girls to make their own daughters feel good. So regardless of what research says, we've had a number of issues with it. We actually really do dive into cyberbullying in our second principle that we address, which is relationships. The Supergirl program is set up where we first work with girls on respect, and then we'll work with them on relationships. And so when we get into relationships, we talk about how to communicate effectively using your phone or email. We talk about what to do if it actually happens. First step is to keep a paper trail. Second step is to disengage from it and involve an adult. The worst thing a girl can do is react to it. And we see that happen over and over again where she'll post something online, someone will say something negative, and then pretty soon there's this ongoing almost battle between positive and negative, and that creates more of a tunnel, and other people will start to jump in the conversation because of that. Whereas if she's able to just simply see someone is saying something negative because they're looking for a reaction and they're looking for attention, it would end much sooner. So cyberbullying is it's a really slippery slope. It's a touchy subject. We do see it happen a lot, and it unfortunately we have to teach everything from real like etiquette, communication, safety, all the way into action plans.
Now, Carrie, you know, as you're talking about cyberbullying and texting, you know, that's just part of technology. And as advanced as technology continue, you know, from what I'm hearing, bullying might continue to grow with new ways of getting to people. So what's the source of the bullying? Where is it coming from? Is it from the parents, something the parents are doing? How do kids learn this?
I know, isn't that that's a very interesting question, and it's hard to pinpoint. A lot of girls that we've worked with who are actually acting as a bully, and we do get all personalities. We get girls who are experiencing it, we get girls who have seen it, and we get girls who are doing it. The girls who are bullying others are coming from a place of entitlement. They feel as if they're given the right to treat people this way, and that is that's something that they're obviously picking up at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate, and that's going to be a hard habit to break. The girls who are experiencing it, it's hard to say where self-esteem starts, why it hasn't started in the home. It's an ongoing community issue that we have to rally behind the kids, regardless of whether or not they're ours, because patterns do start at home. They go out into the community, they continue into the community, and they come back into the home. And so there's a really fine line between where it starts and where it ends. And I'm not able to honestly say why there are kids out there who are without self-esteem and become targets of bullying, because that's really how they are selected. They're selected because kids who feel entitled are picking on kids who they believe are a weaker link.
And when you talk about entitlement, is this coming from a better financial family, you know, better off financially with the family, or does it have anything to do with wealth or income level, the girls that are doing this?
Yeah,
it
I think so. That's what we've seen. The first experience, you know, when I first developed the company and we started implementing programs in Phoenix, I never thought that we would get girls into the program who would actually bully within the program. And it happened shortly after we launched a pilot program in 2011. And it happened right in front of me. I was flabbergasted. There were 25 girls. And within minutes, three girls were ganging up on others. And we went back to the advisory board who create our curriculum, and we had to put in no bullying policies. We had to create new action plans for girls who actually act as it. And when I went back to the parents of these three particular girls, it was really disturbing for us on how similar the parents' actions were. And it was in a wealthy school in Phoenix, and that was the first thing I thought of, is that, you know, these kids somehow pick up this entitlement attitude in the home, because 3 out of 25 isn't that bad, but that was our first assumption, yes.
Wow, that's amazing, and I'm sure there'll be more research on that, but yeah, it would seem like, I don't know how you legislate this, but, you know, starting at the home and, you know, the basic parenting skills and mm-hmm. Self-confidence builders that you'd hope parents would have with their children. And obviously, there's all sorts of parents out there, and unfortunately, they may not see the long-term effects it's having on their kids. Let's take our final break, and Kara will be back with her final segment with you to talk about, you know, the laws surrounding this. It's probably state by state, but also how people can get involved in your organization, and also the book that you wrote, Severson Sisters Guide to Respect. Love to hear all about this, and we will be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Thinking, the debut show of empowering women. And, of course, this is the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. We will be on with Empowering Women every fourth Tuesday from 4 to 6. And, of course, starring Tara Zontanos, we have special guests right now calling all the way from Wisconsin, Carrie Severson, President and CEO of Severson Sisters. And Carrie, we're at our last segment now, and I really appreciate you once again giving this great information out. I want to focus a little bit real quickly on the laws. Are the laws tough enough? Who the laws try to target? Is it the youngsters that do it, or is it trying to protect the ones that are the receivers of the bullying? And should they be tougher, or should adults, should the parents somehow be responsible?
Yeah, the laws do vary state by state. I think they do work to protect the kids who are experiencing it. Most states do have a reporting component in place that do involve the parents, that do involve the teachers, that do involve the students or bystanders. Some states are stricter than others. And I know that some states are involving the parents. I think here in Wisconsin, not too far from Milwaukee, there was a case recently where parents were fined for their child bullying others. And honestly, if the issue continues, that's probably where laws will start to go, because how do you protect how do you protect your own child if you're not able to take responsibility for his or her actions? So it is a touchy subject, but something additional has to happen, because even here in the state of Wisconsin, the laws are really strict. But as I've said earlier, 58% of female high school students here in the state of Wisconsin feel they're bullied on a regular basis, and 38% of high school boys. So with strict laws in place, it's still an issue.
Yeah. Amazing. Just simply amazing. And, Tara, I mean, I would never have thought the percentage was this high.
No, it's amazing, and it's very impressive what you're doing, and brave of you, because of, you know, you're telling your story, and you're putting everything out there for this, and it's pretty amazing what you're doing. So,
thank you.
And you're not just focusing on the super girls, you're also taking this into women as well, and you're trying to empower and build this women through the Superwoman program. So we kind of wanted to hear a little bit more about that as well.
Yeah, shortly after we launched, women started coming forward and asking us for their own empowerment workshops. And so we've worked with probably a little more than 300 now just in Arizona, where we'll have fun, really intimate gatherings. We'll do them in really fun, creative spaces, local boutiques and such. And we'll go in and we'll do a 2 to 3 hour workshop that does involve some deep reflection, tools on, and fun activities that help you identify words you're using and how it affects your thinking and then, you know, your actions and your results. So for women, I think it really does come back down to self-compassion and what we're willing to believe we're worth. And we incorporate creative arts in that. We do a lot of dream boards. It's been a a really fun experience.
And I like what you said, what women believe they're worth. Mm-hmm. Belief systems are so critical, aren't they?
Right, absolutely. And that that starts with words that we say to ourselves. So.
No doubt.
Do you have a set of words that you can kind of share with us that for the listeners to use in when they're talking to themselves? Is there anything you can point out, some highlights?
Well, we, with both the girls and the women, we have this list of adjectives that has like 50 words on it, and we ask them to select 10 of their favorites that they believe identify themselves, and then narrow it down to their favorite one. And it actually, I mean, I've done this probably 300-400 times, and every time I do it, it's different. So lately my word is happy. Last year my word was persistent. Abundant is a really good word. I think that kind of encompasses a lot. I use the word magnet. I'm a magnet for happiness. Mm-hmm. I'm a magnet for abundance, and I'm a magnet for my word lately is love. Just I think it just kind of encompasses everything. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it changes on a regular basis. So whatever your belief system is, whatever you feel you're working on in life, we recommend that you find 3 words that you feel will help you focus on that and believe you deserve those.
So somewhat like affirmations in a way, creating probably a visual and some type of visual effect, auditory and maybe kinesthetic effect within oneself. You know, repetition like that can make a difference. Let's talk a little bit with a few minutes we have left. Severson Sisters Guide to Respect, the book that you wrote. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the Supergirl program is broken up into 6 core principles, respect being the first, relationships being the second, peer pressure being the third, competition is the fourth, body image is the fifth, and acceptance is the sixth. And we created workbooks that our facilitators go out and implement in their communities, and we put our program together through that particular that workbook. So the Supergirl Guide to Respect is the first piece of our program. Parents can purchase it online or at a local bookstore, and you can work with your daughter on it to help her understand what respect is all about, what it looks like, what it sounds like, how to respect others, how to respect yourself. And then the next book is Relationships, the Supergirl Guide to Relationships, and that's due out here in a couple months. And that will go through things like gossip, verbal communication, nonverbal communication, positive relationships, negative relationships, and peer pressure and competition should be out next year.
Wow.
That is fantastic. I mean, you can master each one of these and look forward to the next of these 6 very important elements. How do people get involved? I mean, what's your website? Can they volunteer? Can they contribute money? Tell us what would be good for you.
Well, right now we have what we're really working on this year is our individual giving campaign. We're able to work with 5 girls for 12 weeks at $1,000. So, and that can be an ongoing contribution throughout the year. And we're really interested in hearing from people around the country where they feel the Supergirl program should be. It's in the state of Arizona. It's in California. We're obviously working on Wisconsin. But one thing that we've learned just within the last couple of months is some states need it more than others. So we are interested in hearing from people what's happening in their communities. If they're interested in bringing the Supergirl program to their market, they can obviously sponsor it. We would train someone in their community and then start to help them get their own Supergirl program off the ground. So everything is available on the website, and we're very vocal on social media. And they can reach out to me directly, and I'll definitely get them involved.
And what is your website?
It's www.seversonsisters.org.
Excellent. Well, Carrie, this has been a real honor and pleasure having you on our show today, the debut show of Empowering Women. And anything we can do to help, you let us know. We're more than willing to do this. And we encourage everyone, again, to get on your website, contribute in any way you can to this great cause, SeversonSisters.org. Great website, but more importantly, it makes a difference in the world. Tara, first guest is amazing.
She was wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I didn't know that this was your debut, and I'm super excited
yes.
to be part of it.
Yes, we're very excited. Thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you soon, Carrie.
Sounds great. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you. And that was great. I mean, this is just invaluable, priceless information for parents, your kids. There is hope out there, and we got to put a stop to bullying. We also, consistent with the theme of the show, empower women. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we will have a segment called He Said, She Said. I can't wait for this. This might be like a Saturday Night Live skit. I'm not sure. I can't wait till it comes around. And, of course, this is Breakthrough Thinking, Empowering Women show brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And we'll be right back. Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Get up, first shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby for the game. Nope, nope, y'all can't copy yet. Bad, moonwalking, and this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music, I said my skin. At Beer and Bomb and Speen PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Speen works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
are very good, you. You're very good, you.
There's a lot more.
And welcome back. You're listening to the debut show of Empowering Women, starring Sarah Zontanos. I love that name. It just sort of flows off my tongue. Zontanos.
You know, it's so weird.
Like Zora. Remember the sword?
Well, it's weird to me because I was Tara Alves for so long, and I'm still...
That's where I've seen you. No, I'm kidding.
I'm transitioning back to my maiden name, and it's odd now to hear my name, Zontanos.
Do you go by Tara Z?
No.
That could be your stage name or your radio name. Now, Tara Z.
I don't.
X. Why?
Oh,
okay,
gosh.
Maybe not. Anyway, right now we're going to do another segment, a special segment we're going to probably have every time we're on the air. He said, she said, people want to know men and women's opinions about certain things, how they're different, how they can bridge the communication gap. And you have a nice topic there, texting, appropriate versus not, and how it leads to infidelity, emotional affairs. I've seen this before. And Facebook, and then the chat rooms. Ever see these chat room things? Do they still have them online?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, remember that show, that investigative...
Oh, yeah, Dateline, NBC.
Yeah, and he did the hidden camera.
But then
didn't he end up getting caught cheating himself?
He did.
I think so. There's some
but not with underage people, right?
I don't think so. But
that would be really dumb if he did. I didn't know that. I haven't seen him on Dateline recently.
There was some story. We'll have to research that. But there was something with him.
I'll check that out right now.
And I thought that was so funny because, of all things, he did those chat rooms and, you know, the decoys, and he caught all those men with the younger
women.
That
was horrible, right?
That was horrible.
That was hard to believe, actually.
Not really.
Oh, yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know. Nothing shocks me anymore, really.
But I will say, AOL used to be America Online, of course, one of the bigger, I think the first online deal.
Yeah.
It used to be big. I don't know how big it is now, but they used to have chat rooms,
mm-hmm.
and I never knew anything about that. This is like, wow, how long ago was that? That must have been, let me think. Well, let's see. I don't know, 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's probably longer than that, but I think 15 years ago, I started saying, oh, AOL, look at, they have these chat rooms. And I go, what is that? I wasn't ever on a chat room. Mm-hmm. And I went in, and someone's... you know, they're talking rapidly back and forth to many people. And then someone's talking to me, and then I start talking to someone. And I was sort of a bit spiritual,
mm-hmm.
and it was a little foreign to the people in the
mm-hmm.
chat room.
Of course.
And I go, are you for real? And people started talking and, you know, saying, hey, we don't believe this guy. But this one girl, I guess, you never know it's a girl because
right.
you can't see. But I think it did turn out to be a girl. She thought it was sort of cool. And then I got bounced off. And I go, oh, okay, I don't know who it was. But this person appeared on an instant message. I go, how did she know?
I don't know.
And there's ways to do that. I think you capture your screen name or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, wow, where'd you come from? And so anyway, I talked to her online for a little while.
Oh, my gosh.
That's my weird story. But I've never been to another chat room. Are there still chat rooms? I don't know.
I honestly, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm sure there are. There's just, you know, who needs that, though, with all the Facebook and...
You're probably right.
There's so... Twitter, everything. You've got the inbox messages on all of those. I guess it's like chatting.
I love this. Now, this is one of my favorite shows of all time, Sit Down, Married with Children. And, of course, the song is excellent.
And now he's on one of the favorites.
I love that. That, thank you so much. I love that. But I think you're right. I've known people, sadly, I won't mention names, that were solidly married, but they developed an emotional relationship
right.
with someone, you know, on
well
somewhere in the country.
It's interesting. Today, I was watching the Today Show this morning, and they said they did a report that 88%. Of the people they in this study claim that insensitive use of technology was damaging their relationships or had damaged their relationships. And, you know, it's not just your partner necessarily, but friends or family. How often are you sitting there with somebody and they're doing this? You know,
texting. I see two young kids on a date not communicating just through text.
It's so...
Why is that? Greg, you should chime in. I don't even know why this is possible.
Well, and it's also... communicating with people, like you just said, you start these emotional connections with people where you think you're just innocently talking, and there's a difference between actual communication about, hey, what are you doing this weekend? We're having a get-together. We'd like your family to come, blah, 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 versus, hey, what's going on? How's your day going? What are you doing now? You know, are you, oh, you know, I saw your picture on Facebook. You know, that starts to get over the line of chatting with somebody on a personal level, which can easily start to become a connection. And people, you know, don't see it, but it happens every day.
I mean, so how is that? I mean, do you think it makes it so much easier?
Mm-hmm.
People don't feel rejected through instant message, Facebook, texting, you know, like someone at work, because... you know, this topic, he said, she said right now, texting appropriate versus not, how it leads to infidelity, emotional affairs. So how does it lead to infidelity? It just breaks the boundaries and it creates an easier way to connect quicker?
Right. Yes. And also think about it. Before Facebook or social media, I mean, when I was in college, I didn't even have a cell phone.
Yeah.
So we've come a long way in this short time. But think about how... would you have contacted your girlfriend that you dated when you were a junior in high school or the guy that you dated, you know, one time in college? You would never see them again. You wouldn't even know where their phone number, you wouldn't find them. But now because of social media,
you could find them.
You find them and you look them up.
That's
and now
right.
All of a sudden they're your Facebook friend. And now all of a sudden they're liking your pictures and you're going, wait. But you're in a relationship, so where does it can get so...
like a childhood sweetheart that you haven't seen for a long time, and it stirs up these feelings you had when 20 years ago.
Right. You would never reconnect, I think. At one point, you wouldn't connect with those people, and it makes sense why there's statistics of that becoming a growing problem, and it's affecting relationships. And there was a study, a British study, where they said... one out of every eight divorces were Facebook related, which does make sense to me. And I personally think about when I got divorced, you know, my ex-husband is in his world, you know, known. And would I see his new girlfriend? Would I see what he's doing? Would I see what other people, you know? I wouldn't see that, but because of Facebook,
now you could.
You're not even trying to see things that you see. And then if you're trying to see things, then there's a whole other big issue. You know, so there's so much, you know, people get into trust issues, and I don't even think you have to be an insecure, jealous person to get into those issues. I think it's just natural that if, you know, let's say you're dating somebody and, you know, your boyfriend decides to be Facebook friends with all the girls he's ever slept with, is that really, do I want you to, should you be seeing her in her bikini every time, you know, is that comfortable for everyone?
I see what you're saying. I would say, yeah, why would anyone, if they're in a solid relationship, want to be Facebook friends with, you know, your whole black book?
What a lot of people do, and I think, and you know, I think when it comes to females, I've heard women say these comments, and I've seen them on Facebook saying, oh, that's just, you're insecure. Oh, you have a very weak relationship if you need to be worried about those kinds of things. I don't agree at all. I thought I had a really strong marriage. I trusted, and there are always going to be people that could, if there's a door open, they're going to walk through it. And you don't know where that is. It doesn't mean you're insecure. It doesn't mean you're jealous. It doesn't mean you have a weak relationship. It means there's boundaries of respect in a relationship.
Totally agree, yeah.
And you should honor them because, you know, and there's a way I talk to respond to a man in a text when I'm single, and it's very, you know, there's no, you know, there's a... I'm sorry, when I'm in a relationship versus when I'm single.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how do you respond when you're single? But now you meant in the relationship.
But in the, but even if I'm not the kind of girl that's like, hey, baby, you know, I don't, I just don't do that.
That's on our dating show. We'll have her on our dating show, Match No Match.
But I think, you know, it's, I think I said this to you before, I try to approach people as if, you know, I'm their sister.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I try
to. This is a great idea.
Yeah, you know.
It has automatic boundaries.
Right, right. There's just a way to communicate that creates a, like, where if I know you're in a relationship and you text me, hey, what's up? How are you doing? What's going on? I don't want anything that I respond to you with out of respect for your girlfriend or your wife and your relationship. I don't want anything to ever offend her because
yeah.
I'm really cautious of women respecting other relationships.
And you know how it felt when you were on the other
side of it. I know how it feels.
Side of it.
Right. And I also, you know, no, I'm a good person. I'll tell you if I think you're disrespecting me. But, you know, you shouldn't have to feel that way from another woman over a text message. Or, you know, it just, it can get really convoluted, I think. And I don't think it's wrong to want boundaries in that area.
I agree.
Area.
But I agree with you. Texting, the Facebook, all these things, it just creates a whole different environment. And I think it gives people more confidence when they should have more boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
That's a really good point.
Let's type that down. I like how I said that. What did I just say, by the way?
It gives them more confidence.
Instead of more boundaries.
Instead of more boundaries. And it does, because it's like, oh, well, turn me down, or I will just not text them again. I can. It does open that door for people to feel more free to say whatever it is. I had a guy, and this is a good example, and I, of course, would never name a name or or anything, but he was in my industry, and he had the same first name as my ex-boyfriend. And so this is me. I make silly mistakes like this where I text him something. I was in a dispute. So I responded to the ex-boyfriend, but I accidentally texted the guy with the same name.
Oh.
So he saw that I was in a dispute and responded with, oh, I see that you're having an issue. I'm having an issue with my significant other. We should talk. Blah, 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 blah. And then,
talk in Hawaii.
And then
for a week.
It goes into, I'm like, oh, no, what did I do? But then he would start to chime in here and there. Hey, what are you doing today? Nothing. It's just so uncomfortable. Like, where do you, I don't want to be put in that position. So, you know, I try not to put anyone else in that position.
It totally makes sense. And, wow, so this is very interesting. We'll have to get in more detail next time on He Said, She Said on this texting thing, and maybe we can get some people, we'll invite people to call in or have some people on a panel or have questions outside that we'll read and see what their experience is with it, because I think this does happen, and I think it's going to be more of the same until we find a way to draw boundaries and really respect other people in a way that maybe the good old days had that we don't have right now. So we have one more segment, and it's going to be Tara's Random Thoughts of Kindness after this break. This is, of course, the debut show of Empowering Women live here at the Rita Suite in Phoenix, Arizona, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Every fourth Tuesday from 4 to 6, it will be Empowering Women, and we'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Weidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Oh my God, I love your skirt. Where did you get it?
It was my mom's in the 80s.
Vintage. So adorable.
Thanks.
That is the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen.
And welcome back to Empowering Women. Wow, that was quite a clip. I want to hear that again. But this is Powering Women, of course, starring Tara Zontanos. Tara's Random Thoughts of Kindness. After that clip, what do you say about kindness?
Well, that was from Mean Girls.
The movie
Mean Girls.
Oh, yes.
And it's so funny because you hear stuff like that. It's real. The people, girls do that. You know, she says, I love your skirt. And then she walks away and she says, oh, what a horrible skirt. You know, it's real life. It's the part of being a female that I think we need to get better at. I think we need to be kinder to each other. I think we need to be more compassionate to each other. And not all women are innately and universally compassionate to each other. And I'm not saying that all women deserve to be treated of equal. You know, there are the jerks out there, you know, we all make our own mistakes, but you know, as a general rule, you know, to be less critical and judgmental of other women, I think you see women like that situation right there. It's a woman displacing her own insecurities on another woman. It's a woman looking at a woman and feeling less comfortable with herself, so having the need to spew out some cruel. And I've had it happen to me to my face a million times. I think I told you.
Yes,
I
recently.
Remember recently, and I was upset because some girl told me that I looked, she could tell my face looked fuller in my pictures versus, or in person versus on my pictures, and she could tell I gained weight, and I was like,
really?
God.
Someone said that.
Oh, yeah, and I had to clarify it. I said, but did you mean me? Like,
are you talking to me?
Yeah, you are. Oh, okay. You know, and it's stuff like that.
That is
it's
mean.
Like, really?
That is mean, right?
It is mean. It's I'm
just
a girl.
Because they want to put someone down.
It was, but it happens a lot. You know, you go through life and you have women make those little jabs and digs at you, and it seems the more confident you are, the more of that you.
They want to mystery love company. They want to drag you down to their level.
Yeah. And
can we play that clip again? And I want to actually hear that clip because I want to analyze it completely. We still have about probably 6-7 minutes left. Here we go.
Oh, my God. I love your skirt. Where did you get it?
It was my mom's in the 80s.
Vintage. So adorable.
Thanks.
That is the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen.
So she evidently behind her back.
So the girl walks away and she tells the other girl, you know. And that is evil, Greg, over there.
Evil, evil Knievel. So, you know, does this happen more with women than... I think it does.
I think so. I mean, like, going back to what Carrie said, it's women are psychological and emotional bulliers, and that's really a form of bullying. It's just basically, you know, putting somebody down, but they don't do it to your, you know, your face. And, you know, you see the big, all these shows now, the Real Housewives of this town and that town. And I don't know if you've watched any of them, but
I've seen something like swapping or something.
No, there's...
What was that about? That was really weird.
The wife swap?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's where people who are, you know,
it's a reality show.
They're trying to figure out their relationship, so they swap partners, and then they live in somebody else's shoes, and the husband has to have that wife, you know, they swap partners.
Wow.
And have to see that their situation isn't so bad.
Yeah,
after all.
The grass is not greener all the time, right?
Right, right. So, you know, I feel overall that there's just a need for us to be a little bit kinder to each other. And, you know, we're women. We go through things that aren't easy. And instead of, you know, kicking somebody when they're down, you know, help them get back up.
Yeah.
And knowing you might have to go through that same situation down the road. You don't know.
I think this would be great to play bits throughout every month.
Mean Girls?
Yeah.
There are a lot of
bits. I mean, is that the only one we have at this point?
Mm-hmm.
We have others. We'll have to do a collector's edition on that. And if we could do that, that would be sort of funny. But I agree with you. I think random thoughts of kindness are always important. And but you're going to get that insecure person that's jealous. And misery does love company. They want to pull you down. If someone's happy and they're not, people can't stand that usually.
Right. And I want to know, I know we're getting out of running out of time here, but I'm 42. I'm going to be 43 this year. Well, I'm not talking about girls in high school. I'm talking about it doesn't stop. You know,
it just keeps going.
It keeps going. I know women in their 50s that are still dealing with this nonsense, and it's nonsense.
Wow.
That's what it is. It's nonsense.
It really is. So that's great. I like it. That's how we'll counteract this, with Tara's random thoughts of kindness. So we'll have to have clips of specific kindness. People caught you know, it's surprising them when they're doing acts of kindness. Like, I always open the door for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought long ago, you know, that most people say thank you, you know, coming out of a restaurant or something. A lot of them, fewer people, they go, wow, that's nice, that you don't see that with, you know, very often anymore. And some just don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to think, I go, why am I doing this? Well, I'm not doing it for a compliment. So if someone doesn't say thank you, I don't take it personally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just say, well, maybe they're thinking of something else. Maybe something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you still do the right thing.
The right thing, right.
You just help people.
Right.
Open the door. It's just little things. But I think another topic maybe we'll talk about during the upcoming shows, you know, feminists. I think some... Actually, I held the door open for someone long ago, and they go, well, you think I'm not able to do this? And I back off. I put the gun away. No, she was really, like, vicious.
No, why
is that? It was a woman.
And, you know, I've had moments, you know, I've had moments like that where I'm like, I can hold my own groceries. I can do my, you know.
Yeah, but you're just doing it.
You're doing it.
For
kindness.
Yeah.
And I think if you catch a woman in the wrong mood or the wrong, you know, wrong day, she might.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. But actually, I think she, that's her life, though. This particular one. But you're right, sometimes they just could be in a bad mood, men and women.
True.
So the debut of Empowering Women, a few minutes left, pretty interesting. I really enjoyed Kerry Severson, really making a difference in the world. And this is what this show is about, is to have high-profile and not even high-profile women, people that women that make a difference. Maybe no one recognizes them.
Right.
And they should be recognized.
Right. There's a lot. There are a lot of brave women doing big things and, you know, going against the odds and working hard. And, you know, even, you know, the moms that are single working moms, you know, that I respect them so much. I, you know, it's so hard just to do it on your own, let alone take care of children. And you know, so there's a lot of women out there that I think we'll find and hopefully grow this and get a lot of stories out there.
There's no doubt. Yeah. And if you ever have any comments, feel free to, I guess you can email us. I'm at dave@breakradioshow.com, dave@breakradioshow.com. Maybe you know of a woman that you would like to have on the show. That would be great. And Tara, with just a minute or two left, contact information for you, maybe real estate. Maybe you want to give out email or Facebook. What would be good for you?
I'm a big Facebooker, so you can find me on Facebook, Tara Zontanos, or TaraZalves@gmail.com.
Excellent. Well, you have done a most magnificent job, the debut of Empowering Women. You're more than welcome. I'm really looking forward to this. We're going to have a lot of great women, people that are high-profile, people that just make a great impact and don't care about recognition. And because I think women deserve that. They've been shadowed by men way too often. We're going to maybe get involved in some causes as well, charities, as well as maybe getting the pay up for women, because that truly is unfair. I just don't like it. Maybe my men friends will get all over me on this, but hey, get over it and build your self-esteem, men out there. But we're here to help and make a difference. The world has to be a safer place for kids, adults, and the future generation with all the things going on right now with Russia and this and that. We want to make a difference. And again, Tara, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's an honor and pleasure. A great thanks for our great producer, Greg Isaac. And we'll see everyone tomorrow. Real Hockey Talk. Good night.